Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you boys? How was the weekend?
It was great. I have to say, I'm kind of embarrassed, but
okay.
It was my first.
I like it when other people are embarrassed on the radio.
It was my first time ever being at the Banff Springs Hotel.
Oh yeah,
And I toured the whole thing, read all the history of that hotel was. I was like, wow, I've been in this province this long and I've never been here. Like it was amazing. It was just, and like the rooms in that place, man, honestly, it felt like you're in the Tudors, one of those, like those big halls. It was phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Now, did
place.
You ski or what'd you do?
No, we went hiking, went up to a Sulphur Mountain and we didn't hike up Sulphur Mountain. They took the gondola, right?
But so that's not really hiking.
Well, no, we went hiking elsewhere, but I just didn't hike up to Sulphur Mountain is all I was saying. But I read it at Sulphur Mountain, the highest peak way up there. Back in the early 1900s, there was a gentleman, it was a 9-hour trek to make it up. And then he would stay there overnight. And that's he was the weatherman way back in the early 1900s. It's called the Hansen now. And they've got it. And you could look in this thing. He used to do that all the time. Like, it's people like, well, you can't hike up there now. People, you can hike up there in the summer. But he'd do it even in the wintertime because that's how they would get to test the weather. It's
that's
crazy.
That's old school, man.
Oh,
that's old school.
Much
and
tougher.
And how would you get a weather report out back then?
Well, he had all his data, right? So he would say, and then it would record all the data over like a week or 2 week period. He made the trick 1,000 times. Like, I don't know what, like, it wasn't
but
like
by the time you got back, the weather reports, the data that you'd gathered, it would already be like a day and a half later, wouldn't it? Like, there's no real-time weather back then. Like,
no,
how
yeah.
did they even do weather reports back then?
Well, because they realized that maybe we've gone to the overextent of weather reports. Like, every 10 minutes, do we really need the weather? No.
Oh, I don't know. You're messing with Josh Clausen in his Twitter feed now. I wouldn't go there, buddy.
Well, hey, I'm just saying. Really? Oh, hey, it's plus 30. Okay. 10 minutes later. Oh, it's plus 30. Okay, thanks. Anyway, anywho. I wasn't at the game because I was in Banff on Friday when Joe was hosting.
Okay.
That I talked to a lot of people who went. They said it was maybe the most enjoyable game of the season. Would you agree?
Most enjoyable game of the season. I mean, it was fine. I don't know. It was, I don't know, most enjoyable? I don't know. Struds, what do you think?
I believe it was. I mean, I think that there's been, you know, that there was a little bit of everything. You know, we had the penalty shot for Miller's first game, the great storyline of Backman getting in there, getting a win, getting a shutout. I just liked a lot of the parts of it. I mean, I'm not saying that it makes everything else okay, but it was enjoyable, especially when you consider it was a fan appreciation night, because I've been in those things where you lose and it just sucks and you got to go give your jersey to somebody. And it's the last thing that you really want to do. I know it's part of the gig, but it's not fun, you know, after losing. So I thought it was really entertained. I really, really enjoyed watching that game.
Well, there you go. And you're not an easy man to entertain. I mean, it was a good game. There was lots of fun elements, like you say. So for fan appreciation night, I didn't leave there thinking, wow, that was the most entertaining game of the year. Like I didn't think that after watching it. So, okay. But yeah, I mean, hey, and really, that's kind of what counts for the fans at this point in the season, is at least entertain them for the money they're still paying to go watch the team play.
I'll ask both of you this, Rashog, you can answer first. Does Andrew Miller look like an NHL player to you?
I would say I think he's got a chance to play. Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying that he's ready right now to be a full-time NHLer, but I think he looks like he's got a legit chance to develop into a full-time NHLer.
Very smart player. I love the way he supports the puck. But if you're penciling him in to start in one place next year, it's another young player, I'd have my reservations about that. I'd like to see him start in the minors and then bring him up.
Well, he's 26.
Well, that's fine. It's not my problem.
Inexperienced, though, at the NHL level, right? So, okay. I mean, I think he needs to, let him succeed some more in the American League and see what your roster looks like. I don't know if you pencil him in anywhere, if you write his name in felt pen, even, you know, if you maybe a pencil in, but not in felt pen. He's one of those guys that he looks like he needs some more time, but I think he's showing some good returns early. What do you think, Jason?
Well, he's definitely got NHL speed. I think he could be an NHL player. I don't think he helps the Oilers. I think he's too much of what they already have. And I think that's the issue with Edmonton. It's another smaller winger who skates well, who isn't physical, if he's not scoring points, how is he enhancing the game? And I think Edmonton has a lot of those guys, Struds, that where if Edmonton tries to get into a game where it's just a, you know, a drag them out type of game, they can't win that game. They can't compete. Yeah. They could only play one way, and they're really not that good at that.
But see, this is what I'd say to both of you guys about this is that two parts. First off, how many players have we seen come over the last 3-4 years that have from the minors that can contribute to the NHL level? And second part, isn't it just nice to see now guys come up that can contribute to the NHL level? So I would just say this is a positive. Yeah, he might not be the right type, but let's at least get guys that are NHL players.
It's not a negative.
You can adjust. You know, is that a fair comment?
If they change up other guys and they say, okay, hey, we think Andrew Miller can be a third-line winger on our team because they go elsewhere in their top six and get some heavy players, then great, right? So that's the advantage of it. But I'm just saying if you keep all the pieces, then it doesn't work.
Okay, but let me ask you guys this. How is he different from Mark Arcabello? Like, Mark Arcabello has 15 goals.
He's not a center. But
Mark Arcabello is a small forward, has 15 goals this season. He's got 25, 26, 28 points. It's like, when are the Oilers going to have that call-up of the 6'3" guy who's developing really nicely that can looks like he's going to be able to fit in, provide a physical presence, and chip in a little bit offensively? When do they get that guy? Because so far, it's been Arcabello, it's been Miller, it's been the trade for Derek Roy. It's all water bugs. When are they going to have the 6'4" power forward who isn't an offensive dynamo but can bang some bodies and pot you 10 goals? Where is that guy in this organization?
He just
is non-existent.
No, they don't seem to think that you need diversity in your lineup. And there's a lot of staunch analytics people felt the same way. And I've been arguing, beating that drum for years. It's no different than adding Teddy Purcell. There's too much SOFT throughout the lineup.
Yeah, and it's a bit of an epidemic in their lineup. So while people want to jump quickly to sign Derek Roy, or they want to anoint him as Yakupov's center for the next 4 years, or they want to, it's just, yeah, it might, if you narrow your focus right into Derek Roy and just stare hard at him, you go, yeah, useful guy, can probably fit that role, makes sense, sure. But you got to back that focal length up like five lenses and look in the bigger picture and go, you can't do that. There's too much of that. And I mean, they need Mitch Moraz to come around. They need Curtis Hamilton to come around. They need Tyler Pitlick to play some games and become an NHL player. They need some of these guys that are over 6 feet tall with a little bit of skill to do something. Jujhar Khera, Bogdan Yakimov. Those are the guys the organization needs to turn the corner and make the next step.
I agree with you. The problem with Chicago is you can't force that. And between now and those guys being ready, you need someone to take those spots. And, you know, I was wrong with Derek Roy. I'll be the first to admit it. I said last year they shouldn't have got him in the summer. When they traded him, I actually said the team got worse, and I was wrong. And I'll buy that. But the thing is, I agree, they need to get more size. But I don't think Bogdan is the guy next year.
No.
Jujhar Khera is not the guy next year. You have to let these guys fill out. So we agree, but the process of getting there, I'm saying be patient. I actually have – agree with Craig McTavish. You got to be patient, and the problem with that for fans, there's more pain between now and then,
for sure. And that's why you go and you get filler, but it's got to be the right kind of filler, right? It's got to be the right. So that's why you look strongly at Kyle Brodziak, right? Right size, right shape of player, could chip in a little bit, helps them be better in the ways they're not good enough, right? If you're gonna bring in filler, don't bring in small filler. Bring in bigger bodies. They've got enough skill up front. Take a step back skill-wise if you have to. Add physical players who can bang a little bit. And so whether that's through free agency or however they do that, you've got your core pieces, and then you've got your filler, your supplemental pieces. Stop bringing in small players as your supplemental pieces.
Reiner Schog from TSN joins us. You're not going to get an argument for me. And that's where I wonder, it seems that so far they've shown a reluctance to do that, right? And I'm sure you don't want to just give away, the potential skill of somebody. And that they might go and score 25 or 30 goals elsewhere. It's possible, sure. But they're not winning the way your team's built, right? And we all know that you've got to improve their defense first. We all understand that. But you're never going to compete in the West if you don't have some size and skill in your top nine. It's just not happening.
Absolutely. And for every Mark Arcabello or Derek Roy, the smaller forwards who can get you 10 to 20 goals, depending on how their season goes, 15 goals, whatever you want to call it, there is another team that's gone another direction and has Kyle Clifford and Jordan Nolan instead. And you're going, okay, yeah, that team is way harder to play against night in, night out. That team is way better built for the playoffs. Nolan probably won't get you similar numbers to some of the more offensive guys, but man, are they glad they have that player.
Let's take a look at the back end. Obviously, we know there's issues with maybe a lack of the top end. You know, I think there's some guys that can play the second and third period, but the top end.
Yeah.
You know, are you just a patient guy, Shog, or are you willing to force this along by making some maybe out-of-the-box type trades?
Well, this is the problem. If being patient means, like, what does being patient mean? Patient mean I'm not going to force Oscar Klefbom to play like a number one defenseman? Mm-hmm. I'm going to allow him to be a number two defenseman, and the way to do that is to spend some money and try and find some veteran players that can insulate him. That's being patient to me. Being patient is not, we're willing to just let him play his 25 minutes a night, wait till he grows into it. We're willing to wait for Oscar Klefbom and Darnell Nurse to be our top pairing, and in the meantime, they're in the deep end of the pool drowning. That's not being smart patient. That's kind of being silly patient. So to me, patience is don't push them into spots they're not ready for yet.
You're not going to get an argument for me on that one, Shogger. Shogger, enjoy the game tonight. Quick, fun prediction.
Oh, you know, why not make all of the Oiler draft lottery excitement a little bit less exciting and give the Oilers another win? It means nothing, and it's just the way the season and the last few years have gone for Oiler fans. When it counts the most, they'll do exactly what they're not supposed to do. So we'll call an Oiler win tonight.